This is World Radio KHOE 90.5 FM, and this is the program What's New on Campus. And today, we welcome Kim Roseborough, author of many books and editor and publisher of the Organic and Non-GMO Report and the Non-GMO Sourcebook. Kim is a local resident here in Fairfield and is a contributor to Rising Consciousness in the Domes at MUM. Welcome, Kim.
Thank you, Stan. I'm happy to be here.
Probably everybody in town knows you, but I got to ask you, how did you become involved in the non-GMO program? I mean, you seem so dedicated and so conversant with the whole thing.
Yeah, well, it was kind of a bit of a winding road. I got a master's degree in professional writing here at MUM. It was MIU back in 1992.
Yeah.
And I was a freelance writer. After I finished that program was very practical, helped me launch a writing career. Mm. And I started writing in agriculture and for some agricultural publications. And then that led me to work for Genetic ID, mm-hmm. a company in town that does testing of foods and grains for genetically engineered ingredients.
Right.
So I worked for Genetic ID for a while. I learned about the whole non-GMO market. And from there, I launched a publication, my Organic and Non-GMO Report back in 2001.
Oh, my gosh. A long time ago.
Yeah, so I've been publishing since then. We're in our 18th year of publishing.
A great track record. Now, you were, I guess, how involved were you with Dr. John Fagans and that whole business about him turning back the grant that was given to him because of GMOs? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, John, that actually predated my joining Genetic ID. Mm-hmm. He was getting funding for the National Institutes of Health to do some cancer research that involved some genetic constructs, genetic engineering. And at one point, he became concerned about that technology and decided to return his grant money to the NIH, yeah. Which evidently caused quite a stir in the scientific community that somebody would do something like that. It was really unprecedented.
Yes, I remember. It was a big stir.
Yeah.
And so lots of people, we have this program on KHOE. It's about, and the health program starts about 7:30 and goes to about 10:30. And a lot of it has to do with GMO foods and stuff like that. There's a lot of speakers doing that. And so I know that GMOs is what it's called, but I heard recently that now either Monsanto or the company that owns Monsanto are relabeled. It's not GMOs anymore. It's gene editing?
Yeah, well, gene editing is a different form of genetic engineering. quote-unquote traditional genetic engineering involves taking genes from another species and inserting that into the DNA of food plants. It's transgenic, taking genes from one area, from one species, and putting it into food plants. With gene editing, it's a different process. What they're doing is actually editing genes or taking out genes or manipulating existing genes, so they're not inserting new genes.
Uh-huh. So now, does it make the quality of food any better or worse or anything?
Well, the genetic engineers are making claims that it will help to feed the world and create more nutritious
right.
foods. It's the same story they said with the old GMOs.
Yeah,
but none of that has happened yet. In fact, there's some research showing there's potential problems with this gene editing that there could be a lot of unintended consequences. Some papers have been published showing that gene editing can create unintended consequences that could actually be harmful.
Uh-huh. Has anybody produced a food that's been gene edited that you know of, or is it just on the horizon, will happen at some point?
Yeah, it's on the horizon.
Yeah.
And There has been a scientist, I believe, at Penn State University has created a gene-edited mushroom.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be regulated. Huh. That's one of the problems with this new gene editing technology is that the government, the U.S. government, is saying that it doesn't have to be regulated as traditional genetic engineering.
I see. And the gene editing, is it going to compete with GMOs or is it separate, somebody different?
Well, I think the biotechnology companies like Monsanto, which is now Bayer, Monsanto has been purchased by Bayer.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So companies like that and Dow, DuPont, those companies have merged. I think they're going to be putting more focus on creating gene-edited plants
mm-hmm.
because there's no regulations.
Mm-hmm.
They can bring them to market with virtually no regulations,
uh-huh.
which, as I said, is a real problem because there could mm-hmm. be unintended consequences with manipulating the genes.
Well, I know we live here in Fairfield, and miles in every direction, it is nothing but GMO cornfields and soybean fields. And is that going to be the same for gene editing foods too? Or?
Well, it's possible. I believe that Dow DuPont has created some gene edited corn that they're planning to bring to market. To have farmers grow that,
uh-huh.
And there are probably other gene edited corn and soybean varieties that may be in the works, but they're not. They haven't been commercially produced yet
uh-huh.
on a large scale.
Well, the GMOs, corn fields and soybean fields have to be poisoned with pesticides. I mean, they made this. These plants to be able to withstand the pesticides, so it's better for farmers or for whatever it is. So in gene editing, is that going to be a same thing or going to be different? You don't know, I guess, because it's so new.
Yeah, it is so new. With the gene editing, it's possible they could make gene edited corn or soybeans like insect resistant or possibly with higher amounts of certain nutrients or something like that,
uh-huh.
but it is such a new technology that I'm not aware of what exactly they're doing with that.
Well, I guess we'll find out soon.
Yes. Yeah.
No stopping those guys. I
right.
guess.
Right.
The Roundup herbicide that's being used, glyphosate and all that for the GMO
yeah.
cornfields around us, how is it affecting the people living here?
That's a good question. Glyphosate is used with these Roundup Ready GMO varieties of corn and soybeans. They're Roundup Ready because they're genetically engineered to withstand sprays of Roundup.
Mm-hmm.
So farmers can spray their fields with Roundup. It'll kill the weeds, but it won't kill their plants.
Uh-huh.
And glyphosate Roundup is the most widely used herbicide in the country. There's 300 million pounds that are used every year in the United States.
Okay.
And a lot of that is used in the Midwest. How much we're exposed to, it's kind of hard to say. Farmers, they use low concentrations of the herbicide because they mix it with water
mm-hmm.
and it's sprayed on the field. I think Our biggest exposure may be in the springtime when it's sprayed
mm-hmm.
Initially.
And the airplanes fly over. And
yeah, the crop dusters, I believe that they're spraying a fungicide
oh.
on corn in the summer.
I see.
I'm not aware of Roundup being sprayed
uh-huh.
by the air, by crop dusters.
It's just released by tractors driving around.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. My own example, I did a test to see if I had glyphosate residues in my body.
Yeah.
John Fagan's lab here at MUM Health Research Institute, I think that's the name of it, has a personal test you can take. It's a urine test
mm-hmm.
for glyphosate. And I've taken it twice, and the first time it was non-detect. It wasn't detected, which was good.
Yeah.
That was in December 2016. And I took it again last year in the spring in 2017, and there was a trace found. Uh-huh. So John thought it may be because it was in the environment
uh-huh.
during the spring. But it was just a trace, so that was encouraging. There wasn't much.
Yeah, it seems like go through the fields and release that stuff, the glyphosate and all that. I mean, it gets in the air, it gets in the water, it gets yeah. in the earth. It's a wonder we all don't have it.
Yeah, I know. It is. It's in the rain. I mean, the U.S. Geological Survey has found it in the rain. It's found in streams. Evidently, it was found in some rain barrels. So it's very pervasive. And the ramifications of that, you know, we don't really know. And then
it runs into the streams, it runs into the rivers, it runs into the Mississippi, and it runs into the ocean. I guess it's a dead zone. And down at the end of the ocean, down the Mississippi,
yeah.
I don't know how much that has to do with what they've been spraying on the fields. It probably has something.
Yeah, I think that's more from the fertilizers that the farmers use.
Uh-huh.
Because they spray nitrogen on their fields to help the plants grow, and then the nitrates run off into the streams, like you said, and end up in the Mississippi and the Gulf of Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's more of a problem with the fertilizers
uh-huh.
than the herbicides, but both are major problems
that
really we have to take care of.
Well, Zach Bush is one of the people who we put on the air a lot, triple certified physician, and he really knows his stuff about Monsanto, what they're doing, and he is very concerned about the Mississippi River and the ocean being bombarded with all the stuff they put on the fields, both pesticides and fertilizers
yeah.
and all that. But and he has a lot to say about GMOs. I mean, we're pretty much stuck with it. I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
here
mm-hmm.
and. There's not much we can do about it as far because it's so pervasive. It's in the air, it's in the water, it's in the soil. And so he said that probably the only way out of this is the basic things is grow your own food and
yeah.
definitely buy only GMO food. I guess you probably go along with that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, buying the best way to avoid pesticides and GMOs is to buy organic.
Mm-hmm.
The next best for avoiding GMOs is to buy non-GMO verified products that have the butterfly logo, non-GMO
yeah.
project.
Right.
And growing your own, eating as few processed foods as possible because the processed foods will have the ingredients from GMO corn and soybeans. Like
that's right.
Corn syrup, high fructose corn syrup, or soy protein, or soybean oil, things like that.
So you really have to be careful about what you eat and examine the packages and make sure that it's what you want to eat.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. The non-GMO project logo, the butterfly logo, I just read it. There was a survey that was done that found that 76% of Americans have seen that logo. They're familiar with that logo,
yeah.
which is amazing.
Yeah.
It's only been on the market for the past 10 years, maybe, but it's become so well-known now. 76% of Americans are familiar with it,
wow.
which is great. It just shows the awareness and
yeah.
people want foods without GMOs.
That's right. Well, so now your publications, now you have the organic and non-GMO report, and how do people get this?
Well, people can subscribe to it. Our website is www.non-gmoreport.com.
Mm-hmm.
People can subscribe online. We also have a lot of articles archived on our website that people can access for free. The subscriptions are, we have a subscription fee for that. We're not a nonprofit, so we have rely on subscriptions and advertising to pay our bills.
Yes, and you're doing such a good job keeping everyone informed. It's such a vital interest to people. And my gosh, food is how we live.
Yeah, exactly.
Now you also have I'm holding now in my hand the 2018 non-GMO source book, and tell us about this. What is this? Is it a buyer's guide?
Yeah, it's a directory of suppliers of non-GMO and organic seeds, grains, ingredients, and food products. It's a unique publication that it lists suppliers of non-GMO products, particularly non-GMO ingredients. Because food companies are often looking for non-GMO ingredients to produce a non-GMO verified food. So we have this directory. We also have a online searchable database. They can find non-GMO ingredients for their product. So it's become a very well-known and well-respected publication that companies rely on for finding non-GMO sources.
How often does this come out?
That's an annual directory.
Annual directory. It's well done. I was looking through it, and it is professionally done. It's well worth reading and having on your desk.
Yeah. There's about 700 or close to 800 companies that are listed in that directory.
Wow.
And it's grown. The first edition we did was 32 pages and had 100 or so companies listed, and now it's 120 pages and more than 800, about 800 companies listed.
Well, you've come a long ways with that. And the organic and non-GMO report booklet, how often does that come out?
That is bi-monthly, so it comes out 6 times a year, every 2 months. So, yeah, that we've been publishing since 2001, and that's grown as well. We started out as an 8-page newsletter, and now it's a 40-page magazine with full color, and it focuses on non-GMO and the organic, as the title says, and issues that were related to GMOs and pesticides. We cover those a lot in the publication.
Well, this also is well done. It's just a nice looking booklet. I know it's the first page I turned to. It says the headline is Canadian Quality Soybeans. Tell us about that, about that.
Canadian quality. Oh, yeah. There was a buyer of non-GMO soybeans was describing how Canadian soybeans are the best quality.
Yeah.
Canadian non-GMO soybeans.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because Canada and the U.S. both export a lot of non-GMO soybeans for tofu and soy milk and other soy food products to Asia, to countries like Japan, even China, Thailand.
Well, that's the kind of articles you'll find in this this booklet, and it's so nice to read. It's got so many good ideas and things you wouldn't think of. So.
Yeah.
As well, where can people get these?
Well, we sometimes put out copies at everybody's, free copies. Yeah.
I guess I remember seeing them there.
Yeah, we put them out there. Yeah. The latest issue has an article about farmers, conventional farmers who transitioned to organic because they got sick from pesticides. It was interesting. I interviewed I was surprised at how many farmers are in that category. That they were farming conventionally, and then they had a bad experience with a pesticide. It made them sick in some way, or they ended up in the hospital.
Yeah.
And the doctor, in one case, the doctor told the farmer that, you better find another profession.
Oh, my God.
And the farmer, as a result, he started looking into organic, and he decided to switch to organic. And he's been farming organic ever since, and his health is... His health is fine.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Even that's healthy, too.
Yeah, exactly,
Oh, my gosh. Now, I know, I think in Decorah, up here in Iowa, the Seed Savers Exchange, how important is it that seeds are organic?
I'd say it's very important. Seed Savers is a great organization. What they're doing, preserving, I think they're preserving like 25,000 seed varieties.
Wow.
From all over the world.
And people can go and visit them.
Yeah.
And see their fields and their experimentation fields and all that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, they have a beautiful farm, heritage farm up there. It's about 800 acres. And yeah, you can tour their grounds. They grow out a lot of those varieties. And a lot of their seed varieties are certified organic. So having certified organic seed is very important, particularly for farmers. Mm-hmm. The farmers can grow certified organic seed, because a lot of the seed supply has been kind of taken under control by the biotech companies.
Of course.
Yeah, by Monsanto and Bayer. Well, Bayer, which now owns Monsanto, Dow DuPont. Yeah. So having sources for organic and heirloom seeds like Seed Savers has is really critical, mm-hmm. really important.
And I think just everybody's offer Seed Saver Exchange seeds. I think I saw them.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they sell them. I think also at the at-home store sells them as well. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I encourage anybody. A great trip would be in Iowa to go up to Decorah and visit Seed Savers. And Decorah is a nice little town.
So it is.
It's kind of like Fairfield in some ways.
Nice little trip.
Yeah, yeah. It's beautiful up there, too.
Yeah.
It's real rolling hills and beautiful part of Iowa.
So when people here in Fairfield go to the farmer's market, and, you know, we buy plants to put in the ground, and sometimes we buy the food. How often, I mean, I don't know how many people, how many of them say that it's their non-GMO food or seeds or plants, but do you know?
Well, some of the farmers markets will promote their products as non-GMO.
Mm-hmm.
One thing to keep in mind when going to the farmer's market is that there are only a few genetically engineered foods or crops. It's mainly corn, soybeans, canola, cotton, sugar beets. There's a GMO apple now on the market.
Yes, I
GMO
that.
Potato, yeah. There's a little bit of zucchini and yellow squash, but not much.
Uh-huh.
So it's limited to those. So if you're buying things like carrots or salad greens, things like that, then there's no concerns about GMOs.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, but you can ask the farmers about it.
Yeah.
You know, if they're using pesticides, because some of the farmers markets, I mean, some of the farmers are certified organic. They'll have that on their table
or
their banner. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're fortunate that we have that opportunity here. You know, many places in the country don't have that opportunity. They just go to the grocery store. So we're very lucky we have the farmers market here.
Yeah, we are. And to have everybody's, which everybody's is interesting in that they mark their non-organic produce as opposed to organic.
Yeah, that's right, they do.
Yeah. You don't see that in too many stores where they have to highlight the non-organic produce.
Well, it's been really fun, Ken. I mean, you're such an asset to this community, keeping us healthy, and we really appreciate what you do. And so, where are we going from here with your publications? And I know you even go to conferences and things, too. Yeah?
Yeah, I travel to a lot of different trade shows and conferences.
Uh-huh.
I was just at a food ingredients conference in Chicago where there were a lot of companies promoting organic and non-GMO ingredients.
Uh-huh.
There's one of the biggest trade show I go to is Natural Products Expo West in Anaheim in March, that has close to 90,000 people that go to that.
Whoa.
It's gigantic, and it gets bigger every year.
Oh my God.
It's all, you know, all kinds of organic, non-GMO, I mean, yeah, organic, non-GMO, natural foods, personal care products, mostly foods, but...
Well, that's encouraging.
Yeah, it is. It's a good sign that, you know, rising awareness, rising consciousness about healthy, organic, natural foods, and the interest in that, that more and more companies are going in that direction. That's one thing that keeps me going is seeing the growth of organic and the demand for organic.
Wow.
While I have to, you know, focus on the GMO issue, which can be a little depressing sometimes.
Yeah, but still, you're giving a service to the community.
Yeah.
It heads up on what, you know, what we can do and what to avoid and what to look for. And that's very, very, very valuable.
Yeah, thanks.
Now, do you have a website that people can visit?
Yeah, it's www.non-gmoreport.com.
Uh-huh. And what will they find there?
They'll find a lot of articles that have been archived over the past 17 years.
Uh-huh.
That's it. That's mostly what it is. There'll be information about subscribing and advertising, and you'll see some ads from some of our advertisers, and there'll be a link to our non-GMO sourcebook website as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we're also on social media. We have a Facebook page. Our Facebook page, I'm glad to say, has 930,000 likes on our Facebook page.
Oh, that's great.
Nearly a million, which I was kind of blown away that we've got so many people that have liked our page.
But oh, my God.
It's very encouraging. It's another sign that, you know, people are aware, becoming aware of what they're eating and want to eat non-GMO and organic foods.
Well, I'm talking to a bear. We're actually coming after you.
Yeah, right.
This is great. Well, thank you so much, Ken, for coming in, and we really appreciate what you're doing.
And thank you.
I hope that lots of people get to visit your website.
Thank you, Stan. It was a pleasure.
This is Stan Sansbury at KHOAE, and we're just interviewed Ken Roseborough, who's a wonderful source of information. If you happen to know him, just have a conversation about things like this, the GMO stuff. And you'll get an earful, I assure you. So thank you, Ken, for coming in. And please join us again on KHOAE 90.5 FM and the program What's New on Campus.